documents I'm going to talk to now, you won't have in your packet. The reason that it's not in your packet is because it's still a restricted document. So I can talk to it, but I can't distribute it.
Okay.
So I'm going to use, I'm going to just give you a high level on the 18 SIPs. And then the 18th one, which is the water SIP, I'll give that in detail. Because that's one which we have a control over. So in terms of our way of introduction, just from an analysis of the country needs, to the PICC, the 18 SIPs that have been identified, and they cover a wide range of economic and social infrastructure, and all 19 provinces are covered with an emphasis on the poorer provinces. Now, that emphasis on the poorer provinces comes out, it's expressed in terms of what Stephen did this morning as well, where you saw those brown areas, and those poorer provinces are the provinces of Northwest, Limpopo, KZN, Eastern Cape, in terms of some of the focus. But all nine provinces are covered. So each of the SIPs, now there's a document that is available from Department of Economic Development, which covers at a high level the 18 SIPs and how they've been managed under the PICC. But the first SIP is the one unlocking the Northern Mineral Belt, with Waterberg as a catalyst. And what's important there, if you have a look at the element of water, there are two projects there which are running at the moment, which contribute towards that SIP in terms of unlocking the mineral wealth there, is Mokolo Phase 2, which is the pipeline to the Madupi Power Station, and the Dewip Dam. Now, both of those up and running, we're still doing the distribution system now from the Dewip Dam, and that will eventually not only provide water to the platinum mines, but will also provide water to those communities in that area. So each going through them, I will just focus on the water project within that chair. So also, just with regard to that particular SIP, though, that also what is key to us dealing around the water issues is around the water pricing and the allocation policy. As you recall, Minister this morning made reference to Makgala Kwena, where she mentioned that she was there to launch a project and there was not water available to do certain development in that area. And it's around the fact that some of the water is locked up in uses which are not, but it's locked up in a sector which is not using the water at the moment. So some of those dams, if you look at the Flagbosch Yellow Dam argument site, there's a fair amount of water which is locked up there for agriculture, but it's not being used by agriculture at the moment. So we're having to go through a process of unlocking that water back for use for domestic and for agricultural, for the mining sector and other economic development. There's also the water pricing strategy or pricing issue which you've got to look at. Reason being that you've got a mixed infrastructure there. You've got some old infrastructure which users from that infrastructure have the benefit of low tariffs, whereas the new infrastructure which we're putting in from the Dewip Dam and also the Mokolo pipeline, you're going to have much higher tariffs coming out of that more expensive infrastructure. You've got to find a way of giving some equalization on the infrastructure, on the cost of water from that system. And that's an issue which we're dealing with as well. We will be coming to report back to the Portfolio Committee as directed from one of our previous meetings to come and talk to the committee around the water pricing. The second SIP 2 is the Durban Free State Logistics Industrial Corridor. You won't really see a reference to a particular water project there, but none of that development in the corridor, particularly down on the KZN side down to Durban, can really take place without us augmenting the suppliers in that particular area. And one of the projects which we're running within that corridor is the Moyengeni scheme, which the dam is under construction at the moment. That's a dam which has been funded off budget and is being constructed or being implemented by TCTA. And when they come and present to you next week, they will no doubt make reference to the Moyengeni scheme. The southeastern node and corridor, that's the one that focuses on the Eastern Cape and the Northern Cape, covers the N2 highway. Our interest, however, in that particular SIP is the Umzumbulu Dam. So that's the major water project within that that particular SIP. But when I deal with SIP 18, you'll see that SIP 18 covers the entire country. And many of our projects will be cross-referenced back into that SIP as well. Now, where we are with the Umzumbulu Dam at the moment, and that will come out when we finish on the infrastructure next week, is that the planning is quite well advanced. The minister is engaging with the has engaged with the political leadership of the province. He's a duty now engaged with the traditional leadership, and we've moved on from having identified some 19 potential dam sites down to 3, and are now down to the preferred dam site. And he's just engaging with the communities there, and we'll be able to come back and advise on that final dam site. But the intention is still to get to a point where we start construction during 2014. The Northwest Province, that's unlocking the opportunities in the Northwest Province, and there you will see under the components a number of hot water supplies and also around irrigation. There's the, in terms of the bulk water supplies, these are projects which are being funded essentially through the regional bulk infrastructure project, the Satuma and Mafikeng bulk water supply, the Tahun Dam, Schwarze-Reinecke scheme, the Madibeng-Rustenburg, and the Volarts irrigation scheme. Now, in Minister's intervention this morning around the moving the funds of grant funding, you'll recall that she indicated that she moved some funding away from Rustenburg as it wasn't being utilized and moved it to the Tahun scheme. But that's some of the decisions that we make on the roof, so to speak, as we see progress on the projects. The Wild Arts Irrigation Scheme is an initiative which we have running at the moment called the Strategic Water Partners Network, where together with some of the private sector users from that area are looking at options for the upgrading of the bulk infrastructure in the Wild Arts Irrigation Scheme. With a particular focus of eventually being able to, coming out of that upgraded infrastructure, is to be able to create opportunities for resource poor farmers and farmers who've been previously denied access to that type of irrigation scheme. The Saldanha Northern Development Corridor, there is no particular water project which is covered there, but that's the project which is to integrate the development and integration between Northern Cape and Saldanha and the extension of the iron ore mining for industrial beneficiation. Now, while you don't see a water project there, there is the Valkhamakara scheme, which is a project which was managed by the department. And currently, the operation and maintenance of that project is delegated to Sedi Beng Water Board. And there's some expansion that needs to be done on that particular project to get water to the some of the mines in that area. So that project is running in the background, albeit that you don't see it within that particular SIP. That will be reported on under SIP 18. So SIB6 is Integrated Municipal Infrastructure Project, and that covers the aim of that is to raise the quality of life in the least resource municipalities through integrated action by national departments and critical service delivery. And if you look at those provinces as they are identified, they're very similar to the brown areas which Stephen had raised, with Gauteng and the Western Cape being the provinces which will not necessarily be focused there, but we list in terms of location, Northern Cape, that's John Farrell, Northwest, Malcolm Odiri Nolema, Ruth Mompati, Limpopo, Mopani, Sikukuni, Capricorn, Vembe, KZN, Zululand, Amajuba, and Utukela, Sisonko, Ugu, Vembe, and the rest. Umalanga, Tanzania in particular, and then Eastern Cape, it's the district municipalities in the eastern part of the Eastern Cape, which is Afri Mazor, Oratambo, Kusani, Kushanda, and Matola. So while that's a SIP that is coordinated by the Department of Cooperative Governance, we obviously participate and support them, and you will see when we come to SIP 18 that there are a number of our big projects which support work in those particular areas. The Integrated Urban Space and Public Transport Program, that's a public transport program which we don't have any water project in, but the aim of that one is the strategic use of infrastructure to support urban development, overcome spatial apartheid, build integrated and sustainable communities, reduce commuting costs and time in promoting green urban development. They do list water and sanitation there, but that's water and sanitation in relation to the work that the metros and the secondary cities will deal with. And you can see the cities that are referenced there, Rustenburg, Tshwane, Etikweni, Buffalo City, Ekhuleni, Mangaung, Mongbel, and Zuzi, Nelson Mandela and Polokwane. Although Minister in her intervention this morning did indicate that in terms of Polokwane with water and sanitation, we had a meeting with the executive mayor of Polokwane yesterday, last week, and Tambeka DDG Regions will in fact be going to Polokwane on Thursday to follow up on the meetings that we had last week, where that municipality is saying we don't care which way the money comes to us, just help us to make sure that things work and we give services to our people. So they aren't fussed about all of the arrangements which Stephen indicated to us that legalistically we have to follow. They just want us to make sure that we can deliver in the quickest period of time. So Tom Decker has to get up there and to develop some of those plans to bring back to the Minister for consideration as to how we can muck in with that municipality. SIP 8 is the Green Economy and Service support of the South African economy that relates to the implementation of the IRP 2010. Our particular input there is around the renewables, where most of the renewables, be it solar power, wind power, or the concentrated concentrated solar photovoltaics. They all require water, and small quantities of water, but we are having to deal with and speed up our licensing processes to be able to get those projects registered and into being at an implementation ready stage. And then of course there's the biofuels project. We, at the moment we have an input on the biofuels project in the Somerset East area, Cookhouse, Somerset East at the moment. The electricity generation, from the water sector, on all of the coal-fired plants will have an input on the water side, be it in the way that Eskom are demothballing some of their plants, or where in the case of Madupi where they're building a new plant. So we've got a water input there, and very recently, in fact, the 19th of March, Minister launched the Mokoro project, which supplies power to Creel and second name station. The two names of that power stations will come. But that project was launched on the 19th of last month. September's electricity transmission, no direct water-related issues there except the licensing, where with all the power lines that cross water courses, there's a requirement for them to get licenses to really feed the water course, work across the those water courses. So we have an input in terms of the regulatory responsibility with regard to licensing. Agri-logistics in rural areas, our input there in terms of sustainable rural agricultural development will be around the revival or the refurbishment of irrigation schemes. And those are irrigation schemes essentially which will be doing some refurbishment together with the Department of Agriculture and or the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, particularly schemes that were developed in the former homelands, where you've got extensive irrigation infrastructure, which over time has deteriorated in a very, very poor state of repair. Currently, Zonde de Mata, acting DDG, National Water Resource Infrastructure, some of their construction units are involved in the refurbishment of those schemes, focusing at the moment in the Eastern Cape, in the Ngaha, Lubisi, and Konka areas. SIP-12 is a revitalization of public hospitals and other healthcare. Most of those hospitals are in urban areas, and we will get involved with municipalities if there are any blockages reported, but there are no particular water projects which have been identified there. National School Build Program, there you'll recall, Chair, you might not, I think it was before you were Chair, we did at one stage have on our budget a program for the provision of water supply to the rural schools, that water and sanitation, the rural schools and that didn't have water and sanitation. Currently, that's a responsibility of the Department of Education nationally and the provincial departments of education, that we will muck in there with regard to helping them on in terms of source development around those schools, particularly in the rural areas. The higher education infrastructure, no direct water projects, although with some of the expansion that is being will happen in Grahamstown with Rhodes University, we've been asked to assist and intervene there because the expansion on the Rhodes University campus is being hampered because the municipality don't have sufficient hot water supply to actually allow the university to move forward with that expansion. So we're trying to help that municipality unblock the hot water supply or hot water provision to that area. SIP-15 is expanding access to communication technology. No projects there, Chair, for us, except a regulatory one where any of those communication projects would be crossing water courses. Putting in these long, very extended fiber optic cables, and as they cross the rivers, they would require water use licenses for those river crossings. SIP-16 is the SKA and the Meerkat, nothing over there on the water side at this stage. Then SIP-17 is the regional integration, and that will that relates our project here on the regional integration for Africa Cooperation Development, relates particularly to the Lesotho Water, Lesotho Phase 2 project, and the construction of the Kodihari Dam and the conveyance system to give that to COTSE, and Chair, you and the committee visited that last year. So So, Stuart, that's just a thumbnail sketch to those 17 steps, which economic development will give you a much more detailed and comprehensive engagement on those. I just want to notice of 18 if I could, and then I'll try and do that quickly. On this I just want to change the ministry screen.
We'll look at improved arrangements with respect to the national entities
That's our water boards and the TCCA, the catchment management agencies, looking generally at the infrastructure. The infrastructure across the board, municipalities, water boards, and the department is just a touch under a trillion rand, 968 billion rand. So it's a huge infrastructure base. And if you recall our minister's intervention this morning, she made reference in the BPR exercise to our own asset base, which is sitting at between 130 and 150 billion. So we represent on our bulk infrastructure alone nearly 15% of that huge asset base across the country. We've got to look at issues of water wastage and inefficiencies, and look at issues of revenue losses, which currently are more than 11 billion per annum in the municipal sector alone. So when we come back, Chair, on the next occasion and we give you the input on the municipal infrastructure grant, you will see built into that infrastructure grant is also the issue of dealing with some of the infrastructure maintenance activities and also dealing with water leaks. So as a water-scarce country, we've got to introduce water demand measures, including in the major urban areas, very much more advanced pressure management projects than what we have at the moment. So the component of that project which
you guys launched in April, you're launching the fact that there is a project, you're not launching the master
plan. No, this project.
And then you have to work towards the master plan.
Correct, yeah.
And what kind, I mean, I know it's a 10-year frame, what kind of frame are we giving ourselves for the master plan?
Chair, we are a couple of weeks behind already. You'll recall that we had presented to you the water the water sector investment framework. That framework, which gave a broad estimate of 760 billion, required over a 10-year period. Now that framework has underpinned some of the development of this SIP, and we had put forward what was a bit too ambitious at the time, thinking that by March of this year we might have had that that investment plan put together. But has been quite difficult because I was using the same resources, or some of the same resources, to develop that plan as we were working on the NWRS 2. We've had to push the NWRS 2 and put the plan a little bit on the back burner. So I'm certainly hoping that 6 months into the this financial year, that we should have the first draft of that development plan on the table. And you'll recall also that that development plan didn't only cover water, it was also covering sanitation as well. So we've got to make sure that we get the full input from the other sector departments as well. So, Chair, once we have a look at that program, I'll come back to you and give you a firm date. But from where I'm sitting at the moment, I would like to have
I'm just trying to work out what this is all about. So
yeah.
There's a launch of it, and then you say 6 months more or less into the thing, you would like to have a first draft from us, but then basically for process.
Correct, yeah. Chair, all of the SIPs, the way EED have followed it, each of the SIPs has had a formal launch, because they also introduced the project teams that you've put together on each of the SIPs, and what PICC have done, they've identified certain SOEs which will take responsibility for particular SIPs. TCTA is responsible for SIP 3, the Eastern Node, the one which has in Zimbabwe dam route. And we are to identify the SOE that will be taking care of SIP 18. So on that launch date, we will indicate the SOE that will take responsibility for the high-level coordination of the SIP, and we also then put forward to the stakeholders within the beneficiary areas, put the and then focus on this one that we would launch on that day. It's normally a half-day launch, ministers wanting to cover more issues on that day, and she might very well also launch the municipal water infrastructure grant on that particular day as well. So just in terms of the projects that will be provided, it will provide new infrastructure. We're going to look at rehabilitation and upgrading of existing infrastructure, both on the development of water resources, non-potable water distribution, wastewater treatment, on-site sanitation, potable water supply, and the collection of waterborne sewage. The second area would be projects to improve the management of water infrastructure. We would focus on asset management. You can imagine, and when you see it in the municipalities, that with an asset base of some close to R1 trillion, that we're not managing that asset base effectively, and we certainly don't have enough staff within the various entities to make sure that that asset base is managed correctly as well. And that's why when you listen to Stephen's input early on, he was talking about the Water Services Operating Subsidy grant, where some infrastructure at the early end of that grant was refurbished, handed over to municipalities, and that infrastructure is ready for refurbishment again. Not because it's beyond its lifespan, but because it hasn't been looked after, it hasn't been maintained effectively. So we've got to make sure that the asset management plans that are put in place actually that we get the benefits of the lifespan of that infrastructure, which we're not getting at the moment. Projects to improve management toward infrastructure will be asset management, the revision of the water sector institutions, which the Minister touched on this morning, the capacity building of rural municipalities, and then, of course, on the national level, water conservation and water demand management program. That's just a diagrammatic, just showing the value chain at the moment, starting with the darker blue on the left-hand side of the dam, with our raw water infrastructure running through the treatment works, going into the lighter blue, being treated water, going into the internal networks, and then coming out with a purple color. What's that? Bright pink. Cerise pink. And the treated effluents should be to a green standard, but that effluent at the moment is not going back in a green standard, as many of those 821 wastewater treatment works are not operating to standard at the moment. Then, Chair, we list there, under each of the provinces, the projects that have been identified. We list them under water projects, which will be the bulk infrastructure, the water resources infrastructure, on the second column from the left, and then the fourth column from the left, the bulk water schemes, which you will see also from the when Tameka does the our big intervention, you'll see most of those schemes as they are listed there are funded through the our big scheme. So I won't, Chair, just in the interest of time, go through those in detail. Those are indicative budgets which are shown in the far right-hand column, and as we move through with the finalising of those particular projects, those figures will also be firmed up. So you might see some pluses and minuses in terms of those schemes. Chair, you'll also see the Cam William Dam there. The Cam William Dam typically would fall within SIP 5, which is the agricultural related sector. So those are the projects, and when we deal with the RBIC program and the infrastructure program, with the infrastructure program, we actually covered many of those water resources projects last week or week before last in the year, and the ones that have been developed off budget by FESA, Mokolo, and Moyengeni will be covered by TCTA when they engage with them. The Chair, we just indicate some of the timelines with regard to funding. Starting 2012, with many of those projects, some of them the Central Highlands Water Project, where first water delivery will happen in 2019, according to plan. We also show some of the impacts here, Chair. I won't go through all of those in detail, reading them. As job creation, addressing spatial imbalances, promoting rural development, industrial development, economic performance of the first provinces, greening the economy, making sure that there's regional integration. And those projects, as we've listed in that previous slide, some of them are at various stages of readiness, some being implemented, others in design stage, others already out on tender. We list there the challenges in terms of population without, we're in the rural towns and those without sanitation, the fragmentation, the low levels of revenue collection, the capacity of the department and the other institutions to deliver. So all of those challenges will be taken into account as we put this this plan together. But while we're putting the plan together, we are also doing development. But if we just go back, Chair, to Clark 10, you'll see within Clark 10, acid mine drainage is there. That's the immediate solution, and the medium and long-term solution are both listed there. But the other project of interest there is the sending regional sewer scheme, and that project, we've just recently planned that project back from the four municipalities who were implementing it. It's a project that will cover Mpulumi, Mipal, City of Joburg, and City Bank. And we've appointed Rand Water as the implementing agent. We're just finalising the MOU and the implementation protocols in terms of that, the way that project will be implemented under the aegis of the Intergovernmental Relations Framework. Given that funding for that project, some of the funding will come from municipalities, some from province, and some from the Department of Water Affairs, and there will be also some funding supplements in that raised off budget. That's an extensive scheme, 4.8 billion, and our target delivery date is 2017. So Chair, just the recommendations and to final, my final slide is the implementation plan is being consolidated, and that I reference in particular the investment plan by within 6 months. We commence with the consolidation of the institutions in the water services sector. That's the work done through the Institutional Reform and Realignment Project. There's the establishment of a ministerial committee to strengthen the partnerships. At the moment, we've got a committee running between ourselves and COPTA, and we're putting National Treasury and Human Settlements and Rural Development in onto that. And that's through that collaborative arrangement, but we've got to escalate that so that we've got a ministerial committee that matches that at the moment. At the moment, the collaborative arrangement by agreement is between Minister Baloyi and Minister Mulewa. We need to finalise the institutional options for infrastructure management, operations and development. And that's where this morning, when Minister made her intervention, she was talking about the TCTA, the Water Trading Entity, and the Water Resource Infrastructure Branch. Fifthly, we need to accelerate the response to AMD and to ensure that the Bar River system would not simply need to be augmented by delivery from the Lesotho Highlands Water, that we get some benefit out of AMD. And then finally, accelerating and implementing the National Water Leak and Detection Program. And Chair, that I'm sure you've watched with interest the report that was published, or the research that was done by the Water Research Commission, and which was launched during Water Week, where in many municipalities, unaccounted for water is as high as 35%, and in some municipalities higher than that. And there are lots of debate that can take place around how that figure was derived, and whether we've taken everything into account. Our sense is that some of the losses could in fact be much higher than 35%. And that's based on the Water Research Commission work. And Chair, I think that's my last slide. Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay, quite interesting. So it gives us a flavour that how this thing is going to work. Shows you all the different projects and then how the kind of an overarching one. Quite interesting. But with some of our projects in the other ones as well. So we've got a obviously, we would really like to have a committee to engage you when the master plan is ready. Even if we have to do that, you know, not probably behind closed doors, but I think it would be a good thing for us to engage with it so that we have some idea of the master plan. Obviously, once it's agreed to, then of course it's coming up. But I think that will be one of the things that the same 6 months time we'd like to hear before and engage on. Any issues more people want to engage in? Very interesting stuff. I think you maybe remember those, not all of you were here, but like a year, maybe a year and a bit ago, we got a thick document like this with all the infrastructure plans. Remember they handed out to the Pretoria government. So this is really to try and take that and you convert it into a proper master plan for all these stuff. So there's a lot of work that's been done. Now to put it together, give it flesh, give it meaning. Okay, everyone happy with that? You all agree when the master plan is ready, we're going to engage on with it. Okay.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Just in terms of moving forward with the program, we had, I have put our big progress on our intervention for today, and I think it's more appropriate for next week when you've got infrastructure on your program again. And so what I would suggest if we could is to then move into come back taking you through on the hotspots and the actions to be taken.
Yes, no hotspots. What about that? I
think
you asked
me
about the
deficit. Chair, yes, I was going to ask you to do the hotspots and then
do the
input on the finance side.
I'm happy to follow your lead. Let's do our hotspots. This document here, document 5, this is a report that we asked as a committee, Mark and Mrs. Kosana particularly wanted this report to be done. I imagine as part of the report we're also going to hear about that action unit or whatever it's called. What's it called? Rapid response. Okay, now this is just see, this is just like a thick report. I think Mr. Babasa is a usual discretion here. Obviously, we don't need all the detail. What we're interested in to see, let's say in March municipality there was a problem. We more want to see what it is we're doing about it, so that members can engage you about whether they think those actions are enough or not. Not all the details. 25 people marched, 15 burned down the school. Those are all horrible details we don't want to know about. Okay, go for it.
Thank you, Chair, for being today. I think to a great extent the issues that one would have loved to highlight were discussed this morning. The global model, the challenges that we face. But I will just move quickly because the question of the money itself, I don't think I need to waste time on. Why do we have these disruptions? From the all-town studies that the planning team in the department has done, we've identified that 28% of all the towns have challenges with water resources. So this would really be a genuine cause for disruption in services, but it just isn't enough. also picked up that 83% of all these towns don't have effective water demand management. That is, there's no water conservation and water demand management. Hence, the study that was publicized by the Water Research Council. Much more challenging is the state of the infrastructure. The fact that it's dilapidated, it means its ability to provide service on a continuous basis is also challenged. There are also operational issues. You can just go back to it. Operational issues and the operation maintenance. We talk about that as a big weakness of the current funding model. How do we define a hotspot? We've categorized these and we're looking at areas where there's a considerable public dissatisfaction, where there's a health or environmental risk, and the third thing is these hotspots happen on a daily basis. There are some we get to know about and some we don't. We know that at any point in time, in any municipality, there will be a community that is exposed to one of these challenges. Cases where there's no water, etc. This is a special distribution that shows as a result of the studies that we conducted, where you can see that the most challenged areas would be KZN, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo. And there is a correlation between this picture and the number of services and disruptions that we have experienced in the past. As I did indicate, 83% of the towns don't implement water conservation, water demand management. And again, there's a relationship between what you saw, the previous slide, what and this picture. In essence, if your infrastructure is not in a good state, implementing water conservation measures would be a challenge. So the same, and if you, there will be other slides that show the number of people who still don't have access to water, there's also a correlation. So in most cases, communities in these provinces are hit twice. By the fact that there isn't any infrastructure, but also by the fact that even the infrastructure that exists is not functional. There was an assessment that was done to look at the schemes and the refurbishment needs. The investment plan that FNDG referred to is meant to address all of these challenges. Again, there's consistency in terms of the provinces that are affected by these challenges. This is a picture that shows, unfortunately it's very small, it's a picture that shows the number of pipe water interruption in the past month. It shows the frequency, the intensity, and some of these reports we also get from the municipal monitoring and the correlation between the what we have and the kind of data that we have as well. And there's a combination of factors I'll be talking about at a later stage. This is one.
Can you read that? The other one? It says pink intervention more than 80%. What does that mean?
Interruptions. Yes. What are interruptions in the past 12 months? Where there has been interruptions, for instance.
80% of what? If 80% of the time there's interruption, so they only have water for 20% of the time that you mentioned.
That's right.
That is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, this shows the same kind of data but presented differently. If you look at, for instance, Northwest, and that is why men are complaining, look at the number of incidents in the last 12 months, just in Northwest alone. Looking at its size and compared to Eastern Cape, for instance, compared to Limpopo.
problem.
So we have, then we have to analyze, and this is the stage where that we have not reached. It's very good to have this information that gives us the future, but to, we have to get to the fundamental drivers behind this problem. And I just want to zoom into, I will still get into the report. It's not just as a combination of factors. There is instability at a municipal level in terms of staff turnover at a municipal level, capacity, and the other one that is genuine, they have a problem, the province itself has a problem of the flow. It's reliant on groundwater, and if there isn't good capacity to manage that groundwater, then there will be an unreliable supply. So it is not coincidental that we have so many disruptions at the municipal level. But at this stage, we can only go as far as analyzing this information. We need to get to a point where we deal with it much more systematically, and that can be done by the department only. That is why the initiative between the two departments is quite critical, because one is looking for a much more collaborative but also multi-faceted intervention to deal with a complex issue. This is a number of projects per type. In most cases, as you can see, in most cases, water will always be. Whether it's genuine reason, in Mpumalanga, for instance, we picked up that communities that do vandalize infrastructure for other reasons that have nothing to do with the availability of water, or they are satisfied with how service delivery in other parts or in other parts is being conducted, but they know that once they say we don't have water, everybody gets concerned because of the fundamental importance of water. Okay. I just want to talk about the actions that we put in place. And maybe start by saying, just building on the debate that we had initially on the funding model that Treasury has, the constitutionally, we only have a responsibility to support local. And that can't be done. Our support can't be advisory support. It has to, experience is telling us that there has to be funding allocated to provide this function. In the past, we have been able to do it and we have put systems in place because we had funding from the donor. That similar funding has dried up and we find ourselves in a very, very difficult situation. The report that I'll be presenting on Moses Kodani will just illustrate this. As some said, in we got to a point, Chair Honorable Members, when we felt we were getting overwhelmed by the number of incidents of service delivery, and we felt it's not our function, it affects government, we just have to plan for it. So we decided to establish this rapid response unit. Initially, it was centralized and heavily. So if there's a problem, if there's a reporting sense, community that calls the minister will be responsible for the community. Quickly send a service to diagnose the problem and if there is funding to actually do something about the problem. So this tool enables us to basically diagnose and to give a sense of comfort in the community that something is being done. Even if it's not going to exist as soon as we want to. So we try to structure this intervention in such a way that it's just not an intervention. Send specialists that will diagnose, that will present a plan to municipality. This is what needs to happen to fix the problem and to make sure that it doesn't recur, and we link it with other problems within the department that I'll be talking about at the later stage. The partnership between us and the DPOC has been strengthened, and there is definitely a benefit from that. We have also, DPOC is looking seriously at revisiting what used to be known as the turnaround strategy. has not actually achieved what it was meant to achieve, then there are initiatives with the facilitated partners to resuscitate it. We hope that this will work well with a NISA, working with the province. It has been our experience that unless you have a political champion at provincial level, your interventions at municipal level may not be as effective as they should be. So it is one part we invest a lot of money, making sure that we get the right in. And I would want to quote an example of Owasambo in the Eastern Cape, where service delivery has been riddled by fights between the district and the municipality. It is only through the intervention of the MEC in that process that we have been able to bring in the water board. We tried to do that at an official level, and despite the fact that more half a billion of money from treasury was made available to them, the project was not moving forward. With the intervention of the MEC, in our water board, I'm after the water board, and the project has been. Even the fund that Treasury wanted to take away, they could at least retrieve some of it. However, we have another challenge. So that leadership and support from the province is critical. We also put in place, in a much more programmatic manner now, what we refer to as an accelerated community infrastructure program. This grant has proved to be very effective. It's very effective in the sense that it's flexible. It allows us to identify areas where there are potential challenges, plan in good time, and intervene. It's not a lot of money. It's not even a quarter of the billion. The asset allocation that we have currently is about 225. It's compared to the needs out there. It's very little. The impact, and if Treasury wants to measure our ability to intervene proactively, or rather to deal with some of the challenges, this is one of the programs that you can actually use and see our and see a potential if you want to expand the same kind of approach in other areas. We've also, and this is Chairperson, the end week. That has been referred to previously. The point that you made that in trying to deal with the fragmented grant and the challenges that local government, we had to come in with the perspective of the city. Our ability to influence, to make sure that funding is used for what it should be, has been limited to a great extent. And we hope that this grant will not only solve the problems that we're talking about here, addressing communities without water, looking at extending the existing infrastructure, access of course, but more importantly, looking at communities that are without water because of those problems. We hope that we will be able to use this grant to address the problems that we have seen in the past, to redirect service delivery, water delivery, in a much more strategic and sustainable manner. There has been the approach, the funding model from Treasury has been more, and for good reason, communities are without water, but the focus has been more on providing new infrastructure. And through this drive, we hope to actually show that it doesn't help, it can invest billions in new infrastructure, but if you don't address the water business holistically, looking at the skills, looking at water conservation, looking at climate issues, more ecology, operation and maintenance, you may as well stop finding new infrastructure. So, Chairperson, we're really excited about this grant, and we hope that we will be able to redirect, but also to show municipality maybe a much more better way of providing infrastructure. This is a special presentation. We took here an extraordinary district municipality showing the kind of challenges we classified communities without water, where there's no O&M, but we you can just see here the nature in one district. You would have all of those challenges clustered in one district. So you're beginning to ask yourself, but given the capacity of municipalities, are they really in a position to deal with complex of this nature in the manner that they should? Going further, there's a need to align the existing anchors. In most cases, we all acknowledge that government is putting enough money in water infrastructure in this country. There is no doubt about it. But we just have to make sure that there's not only alignment between the different grants, but there's that centralized planning Jefferson that you talked about. So that when a project starts right from the source, we know that by a certain time, all the institutions and the role players will be aligned to make sure that by a certain time, there's water coming out of the test. So this is what Wenwick intends doing. I suppose he's going to have to come back again and talk about it after its impact. I need to say, This slide speaks to the different interventions that are being managed from the department. I talked about the RRU, which is a quick fix technical solution. And then we have the ASIC, which is limited, but it also deals with the hotspot. And then we have the MWIC, which is meant to deal with the challenges much more holistically. NEED, here there is a problem, and we should, as a department, take a part of responsibility for. If we were positioned as a national department to ensure that the proper effective oversight on the NIC grant, how municipalities implement the design, the planning, if we had that capacity, I am sure that we would be getting much more than from me than we are currently. So this is one area where we build into us ensuring that we play our role. It's not a support function, if we have a responsibility as a regulator to do it. The other grant is the regional park infrastructure, and then we're looking at the water sector. So success in the water sector will depend, amongst other things, how well all of these grants are aligned and how integrated and how well we can work together as a sector. Chair, I will not get into all of these details really.
People can look at that.
Yes. Yes.
What did you provide for us here? These are the cases that are taking place.
That's right.
Umalanga 9, hotspot delivery process, proactive intervention 80, total resolve 9.
It is this booklet.
Can this is read together with this booklet, which gives you more detail of each of the areas and what interventions are taking.
I think people can read through this.
suggest that we do that on a quarterly basis. We've got quite a rigorous reporting that we're doing on the outcomes and also on PICC. Then we can provide those reports to you that we're on the same cycle.
Yeah. But now I want it 2 months
in the
beginning.
Okay.
Because there's all these variables available. And if I'm only going to get it quarterly, then I'm getting it 4 months down the line. That is one quarter of the year is gone. And we don't know. So we can do that in the latter part of the year. In the beginning, let's start with 2 months. Okay. Now, I don't want all the details of it. All I want you to report is say, every week, we receive so much from these municipalities. In this municipality, we've got plans, we're building, we're doing whatever. This one, there's nothing. No decisions have been taken, nothing happened. Okay, that kind of report. It's not a lengthy, big report. Under our big, whatever's happening, under ASAP, whatever's happening. So just to give us snippets, a nice, easy, readable. Remember, we politicians. We've got the attention span of an ant. We can't read long, thick things. We must give a nice pithy. Yeah? Pithy. Pithy is trusted. Trusted, but pithy. Okay. So then while we're sitting in front of our TVs at late at night, we can just quickly page through it and see what happens. Alright, so that's now an agreement. Every 2 months from the beginning, and then as DG suggested, later on, when we settle down and we see things are working, then we can make it a bit longer into quarterly report. Okay. And then I hope that you're going to tell me you've had that meeting with the municipalities around the community. You've had it. It's happening. Oh, it's happening.
Chair, we've got a COPTA collaborative meeting scheduled for the 25th, and all of the 25, well, it's actually we're working on 25 DMs, have been invited to that meeting, and that's where we will have that first intervention. And we've also included in that meeting the secondary cities, I call it that, within those DMs, the 22 DMs, so you have a qualifier, etc.
And
you'll
have those fellows there, the ones with the money bags. Consult with the table. Then you have them there as well.
I have your advice.
Okay. Alright, so hopefully by the 25th of April, remember we said we'll have a report soon after that. On the 25th of April, there's a meeting with the municipality to try and make sure that their plans in place or that the municipality knows it's not done by a certain time, these guys are going to start asking to take the money away. Okay. Right, so that's now also happening. Okay, is there anything specifically on these further interventions that you want to tell us? Utilization of RRU?
Chair, no, it's really just to conclude, and then I will get into the modus operandi.
So you've got the graphic unit in the regional property, and then you use ACES
to proactively
intervene on behalf of municipalities where there's like service delivery. You go there, you send experts and you say, the problem is the pipes are burst. So that's why they haven't had water for a month. So you then get someone to come and pick the pipe for the burst pipe. And you use ACER for that. That's how you're doing it.
That's how
I'm
doing it. But
check,
if you look at the number of disruptions and the number of interventions and how many wait for the service resolved, there's no correlation. Because sometimes we do go, for instance, the most for them, we do go do an assessment, provide technical reports, which recommendation, the problem is not resolved because the challenges are just so funny. People are fighting over tenders. If there's a need for a capital investment and there's no money in the municipality, I'm just listening to the role of charities. The problem will remain unresolved. But I just wanted to conclude by saying...
Can I also ask you before you conclude? I also wanted a report on those 52 villages, remember I asked. How far is that report?
Yes.
Okay, so you'll give us a copy of that. We can study it and then mark it and see if you want to act further. So we can see what is being done. Okay. Alright, you wanted to say concluding?
Actually, I thought I would have an opportunity just to go very briefly on the report to just to illustrate the
yes, okay, do that, do that.
On the same day that we were here, we sent the registration unit to this area to do a preliminary investigation. We said, look at what is the problem, come up with agents like now, intervention, medium, and long term. We identified a whole lot of problems as no one was indicating. The fact that the treatment works is overloaded because of expansion, problems with the resource, there isn't enough water, but also problems with Mahari water bottles. This is another dynamic that we need to be aware of. And we made a point to share earlier on that problems at municipal level do in turn affect within municipalities. Mahari is not paid by the very municipality that is supposed to provide water for, and that affects their operations and their expansion. So it's a mixture of problems. We looked at various reported details in terms of what is happening in each and every area. The short term is we can't run away from the territory, and I want to talk about this because it's happening to a point that we really get in mind. We're not supposed to do territory. We don't have funding for territory in the department, but it happens whether we have to get permission from the minister whether the training. So the short intervention would provide tanks at strategic areas and we have estimated and identified the area that we would require 450,000 per month. That's expensive. It has to happen for even over the next 6 months. And that's what Minister was saying, 1 year would say, can't you do the refurbishing goal? So that would be the major moment.
Okay, just reduce 450 a month.
That is still the recommendation.
We
ask for funding for it, for 450,000. And then we say, in the next 15 months, we would need about 22 million for medium term solutions. It's a combination of interventions.
Oh, so these are not in a weak area?
They are.
They are. No, they are.
Yes.
And then, there.
And then there's another big project that lands to deal for this year's operation and the challenges. So, Chair, we don't have money. The point I'm trying to bring in. We have to come to the point, we know what's happening, but we need money for intervention right now. So we may have to redirect money for...
Yeah, I'm sure you can talk with my friend there from Treasury. He's going to give you money there from the grant that exists. Mm-hmm. Week and ACIP and so on. You can talk to my friend the Kenyan. I'm sure. Look, if that... I mean, 52 villages haven't got water. So government can't sit and say, well, we haven't got budget. So if the temporary solution is to get tanks there, and it's 450,000 a month,
challenges of this internship. They're keeping us away from other things, important things that we're supposed to be doing as the leader of the sector. They keep us busy on a daily basis, holiday time, Christmas time, and we really have to work much more closely with the municipalities to get the municipal managers to take accountability as well. It's only our managers who run around when there's destruction, and before the municipal manager is not even aware that community in his or her area has problems with water. And with all the collaboration between us and COPSA and how we're trying to align the rest problems with NISA and our army, it's promising to bring results. But the hotspots will continue to be related to that, certainly, until that time that we deal with issues of sustainability. Because if you check from our analysis, communities, as Chairperson and other members, who are still sharing water with animals, I don't want to say that sitting tight is because they're happy with the situation, but the people who are making the loudest noise are people who have the infrastructure, but they get very angry and frustrated when it doesn't provide the service that it's supposed to be providing.
Similar to it, at this MK, if you are at Mandela Bay, You must be able to say SOR for this hotspot areas, and this is my plan and time of how am I going to address them. Just caution the department. Otherwise, we can face the new.
So the
instead it's a class 1 to class 4. This is a proposed project and action for the short, medium, and long term to address the specific information requirement for each segment or the group to be finalized end of March 2013, not April. I want to see your work, class 1 to class 4, is all finalized or not. And there is a I saw this one, and meanwhile, everyone is interested from the municipality side. They just like to get any new funding coming to the municipality because these are unconditional. They can utilize it anyway. More than asking national treasury. This 275 grand is allocated to the under income 2,300 rand. These are householders, but not a gift direct cash to householders. This just indicated to the municipality. But municipalities don't allocate all of this money for the infrastructure. So I don't know who takes this accountability. From our water affairs department and water affairs can control for all of this funding allocated. Because the funding from the allocator from the water affairs go to the water board or go to direct go to municipality. If don't use then it must be back to the water board. Then we highlight the water board with the municipality where in cooperation. But unfortunately, I think this one is from the youth to the art. I saw quite a big question for the chairperson request you every 2 months give us report. I wish you that we can see the every 2 months, we can see the report. What this process can do. But I also is highlighted my concern. This municipality. Not anyone might take the accountability for the MIG or your new is a weird. This 14 billion rand. They're very happy, they got the money coming, they send the whole same story. Then what is the service delivery? I don't think that we can find a good service delivery in the future without our good action from our water affairs.
Thank you.
pure criminal activities, they will sell the generators, but in some cases just to create chaos for other internationals. So through the NWE, that is one of the things that I'm hoping we'll be able to. We need to look, start looking at the appropriateness of the design infrastructure and how we can, what mechanisms can be put into to prevent vandalism. But again, we can't be everywhere. That's the third part. The resources don't allow us to be everywhere. But there is, of course, the need for a much more holistic plan where communities can feel that they are treated equally, and it's not only those that are deserving that get attention. Honorable Rogers, yes, the song is just this one is a big one, and if I have to talk on it, I suspect that I'm speaking out of turn. With the recommendations that the chair made earlier on how we need to change the funding model, then working together with the state of government, we're looking at other creative ways of addressing fundamental problem of the structure, the power and function of the society. We've come to a point, and I think there has been a message consistently, that the manner in which is what the Honourable Roger has been referring to, the manner in which powers and functions have been allocated is just not working. Municipalities that don't have the capacity, no revenue, leadership issues, are given huge responsibility. And that can only be solved politically. But it doesn't mean that we can't look at other instruments of solving. Perhaps I can talk about the work that we've done with COPTA. Because COPTA at some stage was very bold, the ministership record was very bold to say we need to take radical decisions and turn this thing around. I suppose it had its complications. But as a department, we had advised that the typical problem of the project, where you take a district, either functions, and LFM that could possibly perform even better, is handicapped because of the power and function. Because we have to work around these issues for us to be effective, I can make an example in Northwest, where we as officials have to take the initiative to get the district and the municipalities to work together, to plan together, so that you don't have disjoint planning, one project here, this municipality, because they're fighting, they don't want to talk to each other. That is one of the problems. So we're saying we have to look at various ways of doing this. And I do take your point around the story. It has been striking. I can remember very well the advice that the regional office gave to soldier on a source, an appropriate source. They would bring their own technical experts that would tell them this is not the appropriate solution. And in the meantime, whilst we're going up and down, trying to convince each other that in actual fact, this option is technical sound and people do suffer. The other one, Ugu. Who is SD? We could only we accept the problem. I remember I was watching the problem on it was a painful problem on SDG2, where they were showing how the implementation of infrastructure affected everything from the ecology, the business, the owner of the business, that they are not to prove it. There can't be any development. We require huge investment. If I recall well, and I can give you a report, an assessment was done by the RRB, but it can only go in as far as coming up with a technical solution and working with the municipality. There's a need for a lot of investment to deal with the upgrading of the infrastructure. I will have to give you a so the RRU can, it's limited in effectiveness. It's diagnostic, it's
dependent on cooperation.
That's right.
And as you say, the municipality.
we're going to have to find it, we're going to have to institutionalize this one. Where we have agreement at official level that we all have to take accountability. So there should be going to come up with a protocol that says, if as a municipal manager you pick up that there's a problem of water supply, please let us know as a department. And there should you should have a policy for the people who can not be looking at issues of regulator at a national level when we look to issues. Yes, MWIC is not covering all the municipalities. It was targeted on the 24th. Just the 24. We're hoping that that could be re-looked at a major stage because the problems are much more bigger. But we're looking at also at potential the outcome of the work that Treasurer is looking at, where they are revising the conditions that are related to other programs. As we talking here, in fact, even at the time when the last time when we were here, already the teams were in the provinces looking at various classes, as Paul Wang was asking, in this municipality, which areas are we going to focus on? How much are we going to allocate to get access? How much are we going to allocate to refurbish? And how much are we going to allocate for water conservation? Depending on which intervention will have the greatest impact. So that work is continuing. And as we go in, we're picking up challenges. In some areas, it's very positive. In some areas, municipalities are pointing out things that we have overlooked, for instance, that the conditions are not going to address. But one of them that we're picking up is the resistance in some municipalities to use the waterfalls. There are municipalities that we have pushed into a corner. Mopani, Kukukuni, a corner that says, your track record, this is what the minister was referring to. Your track record is not good at all. You will come to a point where you don't have the answer to say no to implementation. So we're saying with them, proactively we will sit down with them and revise their delivery model. That's the kind of process that we need to do. Fortunately, in these two, there is an acknowledgement from the police, from the mayor, who are in the process to say, okay, now we understand we have to review our delivery model. But as we go in, we will be monitoring MWIC so that it's not only at the end of the financial year that we're raising problems, particularly with Treasury. And the good thing is that Treasury is willing to look at some of the conditions attached. Accountability. It is for this reason that the minister initiated this program. Because she wanted the department to have the authority so that we are in a position to take accountability. Currently, the key weakness in the manner in which it has been handled is that the money goes to the municipality, and as a department, we can only ensure effectiveness through collaboration and support and influence in the process. So we have strengthened in detail our monitoring, our ability to provide proper oversight to make sure that the money is used for what it is. We even went, we did have our fight with the municipality. We even went to the point of saying, look, we're going to sit in a bigger adjudication committee because we want to make sure that you are going to the right. Look at those are small things, but you must never underestimate how the impact on the economy. Because 6 months can go by, people fighting over 10 months. Firing a municipal manager or a CFO if the tenant is not going the right way, and then 6 months. So we say, but some of them, you see, the manner in which it's scheduled, we've got our limitations. We will use the relationships that we have with them to influence and make sure that at the end we all achieve what we want.
Chair, just on the question raised on the reserve, I'm going to ask Mbongi just to make a quick intervention there, and then also for Yalcott just to talk around the 1,000 functions just quickly.
Thank you, Chair. member. The issue of the reserve, I think it doesn't really directly impact on the current management challenges. That's my view in terms of what the DDG has said. However, we need to note that there are two elements of the reserve. The first one being the environmental, which looks at the amount of water that is required for the freshwater systems or river systems to sustainably continue function, if I can put it that way. The second part is the basic human, which is essentially the water that is linked to the requirements for basic use and so on. And currently, as you would know, it's put at 25 liters per person per day, and it can be changed depending on the circumstances in terms of the amount of water that is required. And the issue of allocation, of course, it also does look at the international obligations and other things, and we are looking at all the water. Within the context of domestic water, I think what I can say is that I think the numbers are up to about 30% goes into domestic, up to 30%. So it's much more about allocating or using the water within that context. Perhaps one can indicate that the aspects of verification and validation, which we discussed earlier, is also a very critical part to make sure how much water is being utilized for what and what is available for the other usage. I'm not sure if that would be sufficient. Thanks.
Yes. Yes,
the retiree rumor.
I think first of all, members, just on a bit of history on the allocation of powers and functions. The debate that time was that those areas that belong to the ex-owners, because there were no local government at all, instead of creating 5 or 6 per area to create one. Now, in hindsight, we can say it didn't work. There are other areas, parts of the country, we actually it was assigned to local governments. It's also not working currently, and they said to go back to a day. And so it's, I think it's a debate that will come, be engaging with the DCOC. To look at that assignment, how can we change it, shall we change it? But it is the chairperson, I believe it's the people in that municipality that will make it work or not work at it. The partnership between politicians and officials. The other option is, and I think from the Ekkert touched on it, is always provision Water Service Act for the Water Service Authority to appoint a service provider, either water board or a private company to do that service provision. When we have time to discuss the green drop and blue drop report, the municipalities have got a blue drop, either water boards or private companies, most of them. About 80% of the municipalities or the systems that got blue drop is either water boards or private companies. It shows you it can be done. They can use the expertise and the abilities here in the country for the municipalities to use that. Thank you.
Structure that's not directly responsible and accountable to the people.
starting the year that we are in, and we have already budgeted about 12 million, calling all the private school bus contributors to build the infrastructure in. As we have seen, some meters were owned by customers, some meters were owned by us. Now we decided that we are going to be owning the meters, and the customers will still be liable to pay for those meters as we told them. But if we have gone and implemented the meters to each and every customer, we have to say that in a phased approach of the customers that we start with, because of the number of customers we have. And hence this year we have started with class one, which are very interested in that class, which we will actually prioritize every day. Next year we'll do class two, and in the third year we'll do class three and class four. Now class one, if one has to explain, those are your big customers whom we believe that we need to ensure that the meters are installed, and we have the capacity as well to on monthly basis go and take the reading from them, because those are the big customers, and we ensure that we have the capacity in house, the capacity to respond to a meter break. We should be able to say within 3 months that meter should be back again working. The class two are those customers that are also critical, but we believe that they can install, they can install the meter, don't give us the reading. We might even go as far as getting the technology that will assist us, that we don't have to go down to the client to be able to get the reading. So we can get what we can do.
I mean, a meter, you just go to the place where you're providing the water and you put the meter that's a mess. Isn't that simple as that?
What
is the year now?
The year was in 2013.
And we're thinking of installing it.
Oh, yeah. But I hope
it should be quite,
I can't even think that it's different.
Surely, I mean, you're talking about installing in year 3 and year 4. Why do you want to install? And why can't we do it all in 1 year?
It's the capacity that we have to do it as well.
We have to build the capacity, as I said, for the maintenance of those, if they break in, to disable it. We have to build that capacity and 12 people, and actually also have the capacity to be able to invest.
That's all fine, but I mean, how much capacity is there for a person to deal with? One, two, five, six, seven.
Sure.
How many
it's not only the capacity to read the meters, it's actually the capacity to maintain the meters as well. These meters aren't off-the-shelf meters like you would put into a household. They're quite large meters and have to be calibrated for those pipelines. You've got to have the staff to be able to go back and calibrate them from time to time. Just bear in mind you're measuring the commodity that you're going to get a return on. So they have to be maintained with a very high a level of accuracy either side of the norm, and it's not just a common old household meter, if I could put it that way. So we do need the capacity to be able to maintain that. Otherwise, we'll be forever reliant on the suppliers of these meters to do that.
Actually, that's where I come to the end of my presentation, to say the strategy we believe, if implemented, we are going to be able to, our measurement and accuracy for the aging will be compliant, but we still going to have some challenges now as we are still going to continue challenging.
So we might be just moving in the right direction. Okay? Move on this claim as we start by. So it's going in the right direction. But you guys
Can you say tomorrow we start with this recording?
No problem. We'll start with it tomorrow and then we'll go on with the that